Galilee is not near as high. And then we had Mount Gilboa, begins the hill country as it goes south. And what I wanted to mention was, you see Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Now, if you need to look at it on your map, that might be clearer to you. But you have Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Now, in between them was the city of Shechem. The city of Shechem. And the city of Shechem occupies like a pass, and it kind of runs that way, runs back and forth. So Mount Ebal is north, and Mount Gerizim is south. Mount Ebal was the place where the curses, Joshua read the curses of the law, and then the blessings of the law were read down on Mount Gerizim. So those were two great mountains. And then I don't want to say a whole lot more. I think we're pretty well through with most of that. But I do want to talk about the end of the hill country there, which it ended. I told you, you remember I told you about the route that went along there and went out here called the Way of Shur. And I told you that Israelites were mainly the ones that used that route. And so as you come down here, you have Hebron there, and just north of Hebron, you have a pretty high elevation. Seems like it's over 3,000 feet high, so pretty high elevation. And when you come on down here to Hebron, here's Beersheba. Now notice Beersheba. Beersheba means the well of the covenant. Well of the covenant. And it's famous because of being connected with Abraham. He, his servants dug a well there, and he called it the Well of the Covenant. There's another name given to it, and it has to do with the fact that Sheba has to do with a covenant. Seven has to do with seven. So one is Well of the Seven. But that's also Well of the Covenant, because those two words are related together. So Abraham had his servants to dig a well. And the thing I wanted to say is that when you get down here into this lower part, it gets drier as you go down. And from Beersheba, you go to Kadesh Barnea. Now, can you all see that? I don't mean can you read it, because I doubt if you can read it. But that's why I'm pointing out where it is. All right, so here is Beersheba, and here is Kadesh Barnea. Now, you might make out that word there, N-E-G-E-B. Sometimes it's transliterated on the end there with a V. But regardless, it is typical to call it the Negev, or the Negev. So whether you end it with a V or a B, usually has that V on the end of Negev. Now, it's fertile land, but the problem was there was no moisture. I mean, unless it rained, there just wasn't anything. But when it did rain, then it was pretty fertile. So from Beersheba down here to Kadesh Barnea, that's the Negev. Now, the Negev furnished a transition from, you know, that area. And you come on over here, and then it's the desert of the Sinai. So that's the transition. And water is very, very important. So for Abraham's servants to find that well, and later on in the time of Isaac, his servants found the well. They redug. In fact, they redug several wells. One of them was Beersheba. You had to have that water. So the well was a very important thing. So I wanted to say that. Okay. Let me see now. And do you remember? Let me just see. I can't emphasize how important this is. Do you remember my mentioning the Shephelah? How many of you remember my mentioning the Shephelah? Okay, several of you do. That's the area over here, the foothills. You have the coastal plain, and then the foothills leading up to the hill country. See, and that Shephelah, though the lowlands, was a series of transverse valleys. And through them, rivers ran. I mentioned that, a number of rivers. And also, I want to mention again that this furnished a kind of a barrier in regard to Jerusalem. You had Beth Shemesh, Libna, Lachish, and Debir. So those cities were guardian cities along through there. So you need to remember that. So that's just a good thing. As you study, note it. When the Bible brings out something about that, then just, note that. All right, let me see here. What else now? Yeah, okay. I think that we're pretty well through the hill country. So now what I want to do is take us up here to the Jordan Valley. So the Jordan Valley goes down through here. I don't have a map big enough. I might could find a map if I had really gone to the trouble, but I didn't go to the trouble because I'm not sure. I'm not sure we have a map that would show it properly. I'm talking about the Great Rift Valley. The Great Rift Valley. If you start up here, right up here at the top, you've already got the Lebanons and the anti-Lebanons over here, Mount Lebanon and Mount Hermon over here, and you've got a cleft in there, and it goes all the way down, all the way down, all the way down. It has been explained as the Jordan Valley was a place where the bottom geologically dropped out. The bottom sank down. I mean, it's not just a cleft, but the whole thing. You've got a section. You've got a section there. From this point over here, the whole section just dropped. See that? It dropped. And that cleft is 4,100 miles long. And it starts up there where I showed you and goes all the way down into equatorial Africa. Goes down to Mozambique. All the way down there. So it is one of those features that you can see from outer space. So it is quite a prominent place. So the Jordan River was a part of that Great Rift Valley, but we don't see all that Great Rift Valley there. That's what we see of it. So the Jordan River. Now think about this. All right, we have the Jordan River. I told you. Let me get here a little closer. All right, let me see. All right, Mount Hermon. I told you that the rain falls up there, snow and all that, and it melts and comes down here and comes out in a spring somewhere near Dan, somewhere out there. One of the biggest springs in the world. And it comes down, kind of percolates down and flows on down. So you've got a river here. You've got a river. Right, think about this. What do we use our rivers for? Navigation and what? Irrigation. So travel and irrigation. The Israelites had next to no use for the Jordan River. First of all, you couldn't navigate. Because if you try it, first of all, either your boat wouldn't go, or it would be torn up by the rapids. You just couldn't do that. And guess what else they couldn't use it for? Irrigation. Because they had no way to do it. They just had no way to do it. Now, the Israelis today make a great use, and I shouldn't maybe say the Israelis, the Jordanians make a great use of the Jordan River. And, all right, here is the Yarmouth. That's one of the great tributaries of the Jordan. So the Yarmouth River flows into it. And so the Jordanians draw a lot of water out of it at that point. But I'm just saying that in ancient times, in the Israelite days, they made no use, really. It was a barrier. It was a barrier. Yes.
Does it pick up any small content and all of the
it picks up salt, first of all, as any river that flows into a system that has no outlet. You know, I mean, we understand that. However, you remember, you may not have heard, but I said that the Sea of Galilee has in its depths some salt springs. And so those provide some extra salt. Now, the water that leaves the Sea of Galilee is still regarded as fresh. In fact, this is the largest freshwater lake. I mean, not the largest. The lowest freshwater lake in the world. As the Discovery Channel and all that other stuff says, on the planet. So it's the lowest freshwater lake on the planet. But it does have some saltwater spring way down in it. So that adds a little bit to it, more than the normal. But they just couldn't use the river. Now, we'll point out that the Yarmouth, if you look at your book, you can tell how to spell it, but it's Yarmuk, okay? Yarmuk. That was one major tributary. Then you come on down here, the second major tributary is the Jabbok River, J-A-B-B-O-K, the Jabbok River. That was the second. Then you come on down here to the Arnon, A-R-N-O-N, the Arnon, and then the last one was down here, the Zered, Z-E-R-E-D. So those were the four major tributaries. There were some other minor ones, but those were the major ones. The Arnon was pretty well the border, the northern border of Moab. And down here, the Zered formed the northern border of Edom. So those are the four major rivers. What are the four major rivers there, without reading? What's the first one in the north? Yarmouk, then the Jabbok, and then the all right, then the Arnon, and then the Zered. All right, I could do that. I could say 1, 2, 3, 4, couldn't I? But anyway, all right, those are the four rivers that flow in from the east side, and I think it's just interesting. You know, we're so used to using a river.
They couldn't use a river.
It was a boundary. It was a boundary between the east and the west and that kind of thing. The river was 2 to 15 miles wide. So up here and then going on down here. Now, it's about 14 miles wide there at Jericho. Can you see that? That's about the widest spot. So it was about 14 miles wide there. So, and of course, you're going downhill all the way as you go down. It's raining. Is everybody all right with that? We're not paying too much attention, all right? So, 2 to 15 miles wide. Now, I made a little change. I made a little change in what I'm saying. In contrast to the book. Because in the book we said there are high cliffs on either side. Well, as I define a cliff, I think about a cliff as a kind of a more or less a sheer bank. Well, it's not a sheer bank. A sheer bank, a cliff like that. It's not that, but they're steep. Now, I wanted to use another map. Let me show you another map. I think that's a pretty good I think that's a pretty good map. All right, look up here. Here's the Jordan River as it comes down, and there is Lake Cule, and then it comes on down here to the Sea of Galilee. And as it comes down there, can you see that there are pretty steep hills there on either side? As you're driving along, there's enough. Now, when we drove down in the bus, we had enough room. Let me see. All right, let me just show you. We drove down this side, which was the west side. We drove down. No, Down the west side. So we drove down the west side, all the way down the Sea of Galilee. Now, some of the places along here, you might almost call it a cliff, but I would call them just pretty well steep banks. And I think that's more accurate generally to say steep banks. And I want to give you some figures. Let me see. All right, McGarvey. When McGarvey talked about this river up here, as it comes out and it begins to flow south, when it begins to flow south, he said it appeared to be dead level. Well, of course, it wasn't dead level, or it wouldn't have flowed. But he said it appeared to be dead level. And so for a little while, it does that. All right, just a minute now. Yeah, all right, got that done. All right, about 12 miles from its source, the river flows into the Lake Huleh, and it's 4.5 miles long, 3.5 miles wide. You can't even really see it on that map there very well. Let's see. All right, there. You can't see it on that one either very well. All right, there it is. Now, you see, it is smaller. It's definitely smaller than this one. So it's like, what did I say, 3.5 to 4.5, something like that. So it was a smaller lake. So it got down there, still fresh water, still above sea level. But as it goes down further, it drops in elevation. So when it leaves Huleh, it's about 11 miles to the Sea of Galilee. And by the time it gets to the Sea of Galilee, it's 696 feet below sea level. And I told you that when we went to the Sea of Galilee, we rode the bus, and as we were riding the bus, in fact, we went there from Megiddo. Went there from Megiddo, across the Valley of Israel on, and so on, and then went down, and that was my experience of seeing a sign saying sea level. I haven't seen a sign that said sea level very many times, so that's one that I did see the sign. All right, so when it gets down there, it leaves Lake Huleh, and it's flowing down the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan will drop in elevation 900 feet in that 11 miles. And most of it will take place over 8 miles. So even kayak travel would be dangerous on such a river. So, so when you get down to the Sea of Galilee, 696 feet below sea level. And I'll tell you what, when I was up there around the Sea of Galilee the first morning that I was there, for some reason, I just couldn't sleep. So I got up, got ready, left Leon in the bed asleep, because he had been there before. And I went down because I wanted to go while it was still fairly dark to the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Now, I wish I could tell you. And so I walked up to where the waters were coming up. No, I walked up to like a wharf. See, it would have been more fun if I'd been able to come there and the water was coming out here. But it was still exciting. Because when I got down there, I met a young man whom I had known well from Eastside, and his name was Chandler. And so he and I just looked at the sea there in the dark, the shade, the twilight. And you know what I was thinking? What would you think? Wouldn't you think about what all happened on that sea? And so I was thinking about Jesus walking on the water. I was thinking about Jesus teaching all the wonderful lessons that he taught all around that lake. And so I just asked Brother Chandler to lead a prayer. And we just had a prayer together. Pretty interesting, isn't it? What an interesting experience. So we did that. There were so many things that I really wanted more time just to soak in the atmosphere. Say, you know what happened here? I couldn't do that everywhere. Oh. No. Or maybe more than one reason. But no. But I was going to tell you that another occasion when I really wanted to see something and just savor it was when I went to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you were looking at the location of the Garden of Gethsemane, what would you have thought about it? Who prayed there? You remember? Yeah. Who prayed there? And I wanted to just soak that up. And we had these Arab vendors that plagued the life out of them. And I wanted to just brush them off. I wanted them to go. And I wanted to tell the people, do you know what happened here? Do you know what happened on the Mount of Olives? I think, in a way, the most exciting thing that I could think of that happened on the Mount of Olives was Jesus ascended to heaven. See? I wasn't able to give that the thought that I really would like to have given. But I think to do that, I'd have to be there by myself. But you can only do so much with your imagination. But I did what I could with it. All right, so 696 feet below sea level, but it's still fresh water. It's still fresh water. And it's 12.5 miles long, 7.5 miles wide. You can see all the way across the Sea of Galilee. So as you look at the sea up there, now you see what is the sea, correct? A little play on words there. You can see all from any point on it, you can see all the way across to the other side. Now, if you can't read the printing on the boat on the other side, but you can see the boat on the other side. So it's not that big. It's not near as big as Lake Okeechobee. In fact, you could take the entire land of Palestine and put it in Lake Erie. So, you know, to me, that gives me more of an idea of how big it is. Now, let me show you something else. Might get another map. Because, you know, you talked about the storms, right? We realized that storms were a characteristic of the Sea of Galilee. All right? Now then, as you look at the Sea of Galilee up here, you can see, can you all see the Sea of Galilee right there? Do you see how steep these hills are over here? Those, very steep. And the wind would come blowing down that channel right there, and then it would strike the water there. And that's the reason why it'd be coming down like a funnel. Coming from the north, it would come down like it was cooler. Think about this. What would cooler air up there? What would it do? What would it do? Coming down the Sea of Galilee, 696 feet below sea level. So do you see that? So it would just come rushing down there, and that's why they can have storms so readily. And I've read of a number of travelers that went over there, and they were going to experience the Sea of Galilee, and before they knew it, they were in a storm. So a storm can come up extremely quickly, and you can see from the terrain there why. Now, I've seen a photograph of the water. I didn't see it personally. In other words, I didn't see the river as it flowed from the Sea of Galilee down here. On that south side, it flows, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 feet wide and shallow. It's fairly shallow, but it's clear. It's pretty clear. And it's just running along there. And it's, there are some ripples in it. Like you can tell, the bottom is a little bit rough. Do you all know what I'm talking about when you see a stream running and you know that the bottom has a little bit of rock down there? Well, that's kind of what it looked like. So one of the things that I am so impressed with about the Sea of Galilee is that Jesus taught there. So let me go back to that. All right. So the Sea of Galilee. Now, Capernaum was up here, right up there. That was one of the places he taught so much, so many lessons. But he taught lessons all the way around it. Now, say, somewhere over here, that was where the Lord cast the demons out, and they went into the pigs. And they ran down the cliff and drowned. See that? Now, over there, there was this restaurant. And they advertised that they served Peter's fish. Well, the tilapia is native. It grows naturally there, the tilapia. Back then, I hadn't heard of tilapia, and if I had heard of it, I wouldn't know what it was. So you can guess, I didn't want Peter's fish. I didn't want Peter's fish. So it was funny to me, because a lot of our people had not eaten European fish. As far as I'm concerned, European cooked fish is not worth eating. They don't know how to cook it. I'm sure that others would have a different idea about that, but they just baked this fish, and this, it was about that big. About that big, probably about that wide, everything, and baked. It was just baked. And I don't know of any good taste. Seasoning. I didn't even smell any good taste seasoning. I sure didn't taste it. So as I watched people starting to eat that, I was glad I got chicken. Yeah, I didn't want that, because I knew too much about that kind of thing, and I knew it wouldn't be the kind of fish that I would be used to eating and that I would want to eat. So there were some meals that were left not completely eaten, I'd say. All right, now here's another thing about the Sea of Galilee. Wrong. All right, here we go. Gennesaret was a plain that was right up there on that northwest shore. And it was a wonderful place. I mean, it grew just about everything. Fruit and grain and just about everything. So it was a popular place. What do you remember? I hope you don't remember too many things. What's maybe the prominent thing you remember about Gennesaret? Walking on the water. When Jesus walked on the water, guess where he went to? Gennesaret. So that was on that other side over there. So he walked across from some point. Let me get a little closer. He walked from some point, say over here, across over here. So that's the reason I'm saying that he walked a few hundred yards. That'd be about how far it was across there. And he walked. So, but that's Gennesaret. All right, so that's the Sea of Galilee. By the way, do you remember how deep the Sea of Galilee was? I've told you this. I'm just checking to see if you remember. 101? 101, how deep it was. 165 feet deep. It was exciting to me because they had, I think I mentioned that they had discovered a, they had found a boat, a ship, that they had retrieved. It had been left there. Let me see. I'm looking at another thing or two and see if I have left anything out that I want to mention. Okay. All right. Let me see. Well, now, where did that river go? Where did the river go? Yeah. Where did the river go? Of course, I know. All right, I think I'm through with all that. All right, so it went on down. Went on down to the Dead Sea, which is 48 miles long. So as I told you a while ago, that it appeared to be a fairly sedate river as it left. Goes on down, and from Mount Hermon, and the source of the river up there, the springs, all the way down here, about 80 miles. It takes 200 miles of riverbed to cover that distance. Can you guess why? Wouldn't believe how much the River Jordan wanders. It meanders. Yeah, straighten that out. That'd straighten a lot of things out, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, what it'd do, it'd flow along and fairly sedately and then shoo, and have some rapids and things like that and then reach a level. But it was going down to 1,290 feet below sea level. See that? I want to give you some astounding figures. As it plunged downstream, let me see if I have a figure or two here that I think is interesting. Okay. As we get to look at, see Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem, you know, Can you understand that if you were on the Dead Sea down here and you were looking over at Bethlehem, do you realize you couldn't look over at Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem would be way up there, 3,800 feet above the Dead Sea. See? 3,800 feet above the Dead Sea. So when the land there began to go toward the east from Bethlehem, it went down and down and down and down, and you can see Bethlehem from the Dead Sea. Now, if you saw, let me say that again. You could see the Dead Sea from Bethlehem, but you couldn't see Bethlehem from the Dead Sea. So if you were up there, what you do is you look out. You'd have to look way out there, way out there. So that's the terrain. One of the things I learned when I was there was it just doesn't look like you imagine. In fact, I almost came away wishing that I just had my memory of the way I had imagined it. But, of course, I'm glad that I did see the way it was. That's the real way it was. All right, let me tell you a little bit more. The Dead Sea, 48 miles long and about 10 or 12 miles wide. And one of the things, because the Jordanians and perhaps the Israelis too draw water out of it, sometimes the Jordan hardly flows. And so it just doesn't flow at all like it used to. So you wouldn't ever see a flood like crossed over. You know, looking at the, here's the where the Jordan River flows in from the north there, flows in. All right, you'd have to go back up, say, here's Jericho. All right, see, right about in there. At flood stage, it would be about 12 feet deep. When in a drier spell, you could ride a horse and hardly wet his belly in that same area. But in flood, 12 feet deep. Can you guess what the current is doing? It's just rushing down into the Dead Sea. So what? Think about, did somebody have to cross that river? There were two spies. What would you say those spies had to be? Good swimmers. And they had to, you know, if you had to cross that, do you realize, where did they begin? They didn't begin right out here, just, you know, a few feet from the mouth of the Dead Sea. See that? They couldn't do that. They had to go considerably upstream. And when they got in the river, then they had to go along, go with the river, not fight the river, but go along with the river until they could get to the other side and get out. It was a job. And that was the stage that the Jordan River was. Now that makes it remarkable, because what did God do? What did God do so that they could cross the Jordan? He stopped the water. Remember? Do you remember the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant? They go out here. Now, what are those priests looking at? What are they seeing out there? I mean, running like a mill race. What do they see? A fast flowing Jordan River. We're supposed to walk in that? I don't think they really had that idea. But they walked, carrying the Ark, and what happened when they put their feet in the water? It stopped. Now, when the water is cut off from upstream, it is phenomenal how quickly the water goes down. I've seen that also, not at the Jordan River. But when that water stops, I mean, you can watch it. You can just watch it drop. So here they wade off. Now, into what part would they wade? Would they wade out 6 feet deep? No, it started when they put their feet in the water. And that's one of the places that God wanted a pile of rocks. What would that show? It would show that when the priest went out here and approached this raging river, and they put their feet in it, that meant that the river was flowing and the edge of that flood was there. But when they put their feet in it, it stopped. And they went across, all of them. Do you realize how long it would have taken them to cross? You've got 3 to 5 million people. Can you imagine how long it would take? I mean, how long would those priests have had to stand there? See? Sometimes you just don't get those points until you really think about that. So they had to stand there for a good while. And so the whole process was done. Everybody crossed the River Jordan. They did it safely. And, I'll let you in on a secret. What God did was He caused a landslide to fall in the upper part of the river. Well, you know what? I don't care if He made a landslide fall in the river, because you know when He did it? He did it when the time was for the Israelites to cross. The timing. So, and that, the fact is, we have had a number, you know, historically, we've had a number of times when the Jordan was blocked from flowing into the Dead Sea by a landfall up in the upper part. And so it may have been. That's the way God did it. In that case, the miracle would have been the timing. Because wouldn't that be something? God says, all right, when the priest's feet touched the water, and it stopped. Now, the children of Israel didn't know. They couldn't see up the river. Therefore, nor do we ever read of any explanation that is given in the text that there was a dam up the river. The debris just fell in. And we're not told that. We don't know. But probably that's what happened. But if it did, then it would have been the timing that was the miracle. All right, so you get down to the Dead Sea. Now, when I read the figures of the Dead Sea, let me see. Oh, there are several things. Look on page 15. Look on page 15. Do you see that diagram up there at the top of page 15? All right. You see on the left the level of the Mediterranean Sea. You follow that line all the way across, that sea level. And then you look in about the middle there, the Jordan Valley at Jericho. Now that dotted line there, that dotted line you see, is the level of the Dead Sea. All right. No. That dotted line is the valley a few miles back up from the Dead Sea, the mouth of the Dead Sea. You understand that? It's a few miles back up. So, but at the on the level of the Dead Sea, that bold line, and look at that, 1,300 feet. It goes down 1,300 more feet. That's amazing, isn't it? So, anyway, all right. Well, we'll stop for now.